Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's happening with the Supreme Court and more? Let's go in-depth with Senator Chuck Grassley from New Hartford.
It looks like we have Senator Grassley walking over right now, so I'll hand it over to him.
Okay, thank you.
Let me tell you how this is, Bob. I just told her 5 minutes ago to get you on the phone right away, and I said I'll be right back, and I forgot to come back.
Well, that's okay. We got to know each other a little bit. It's seems like a very nice young lady from Indianola out there.
Yeah,
now.
She took Christine's place. Christine went to work for kind of an IT operation with the Heritage Foundation. And the reason she went to Heritage is because she had interned there when she was in college.
Well, great.
Yeah.
Let's just start off. It's the last time we talked, it was still the Supreme Court in the news, and it's still there. And you're in the news every day with respect to the potential Obama appointee to the Supreme Court. Where do we stand now?
Well, the only thing that's happened since I talked to you, I probably talk to you every month, I'm sure, and I had breakfast last week with Garland, and he knew ahead of time that he's going to be my guest, and we talked for an hour and 10 minutes, and we had a very, very good conversation, and I don't want to say what he said, but I could generally say that he tried to give me some of his point of view on some things that have come up, not for me, but third parties, about what sort of a judge he would do or how he might rule or where he would fall in the liberal, conservative, et cetera, breakup of the court. It was pleasant, and he's a person that just as an individual, if you were to sit down with him, you would feel very comfortable with him, and I felt very comfortable with him. But he knew ahead of time that I was going to say that my position was, like as happened with 33 nominees out of 230 years that were never approved for the Supreme Court. At least five of them had never even been considered by the Supreme Court, and that for the last 30 years, following on a vacancy in the Eisenhower administration, a vacancy in the Lyndon Johnson presidency that Nixon failed, and then 30 years of kind of an understanding. I shouldn't use the word rule. I shouldn't use the word precedent. I should only use the word that there's been a lot of statements made by a lot of senators in the last 30 years that have indicated that if there's a vacancy in the last year of a presidency, that it should be filled by the succeeding president. And I stated that to him. I even gave him an opportunity to say, you didn't ask to have a hearing. He says, I know where you stand on that, and I'm not here to give you a bad time. I'm just here to exchange our views. So it was very pleasant, but bottom line for you, Bob, is that because you asked where are we on it, nothing has changed, except I think that he still continues to go around for these interviews, both among Republicans and Democrats, probably seeing a higher percentage of Democrats than Republicans. And there's what I read in the Washington press is the view that the feeling that this should go to the next president hasn't changed since that was announced about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And let me quantify that for you, and then I'll stop. About 52, I think, 52 senators have that view.
More in depth after this. continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. Anybody on any side of this can sort of cherry-pick history to say history is on our side. I mean, people do that all of the time. But isn't this sort of a risky thing? Isn't Garland a better candidate to get a hearing than who might be appointed by either? I mean, from a conservative perspective, isn't he a better appointment than perhaps a President Hillary Clinton and or President Sanders or maybe even President Trump or Cruz or whoever might come forward with?
Well, from the standpoint of an individual, I indicated to you he's a very nice person from that perspective. And then let me also admit that for all the 52 Republicans that are saying that it ought to go over to a new president to pick, it's based on the proposition that people ought to have a voice through whoever they elect as president. And for people like me that want somebody of a Scalia variety to be on the Supreme Court, or at least tending in that direction, we've got to know that if Hillary Clinton's elected president, it won't be a Scalia-type person. If a Trump's elected president, it probably is a little more unknown than if there's a Cruz elected president or a Kasich elected president. Although I have heard Trump say that he wanted a guy like a Pryor from the Fifth Circuit, I think that's the 11th. Well, one of the southeastern circuits, or a woman he named that I don't remember the name of her from Wisconsin that's on the circuit that Wisconsin's in. So I would have to admit it's a gamble, but. But also in regard to Garland, so again, I'll give you a very recent history, and it comes from newspaper headlines that Ginsburg was labeled as a moderate, Breyer was labeled as a moderate, Sotomayor and Kagan. In newspaper stories at the time they were nominated, just like Garland is listed in newspapers as a moderate, and you had that word in your question. So we know how Ginsburg, Breyer, and Kagan and Sotomayor have turned out not to be a moderate. So I wouldn't want to put too much money on Garland being a moderate as listed by the newspapers.
Now, do you ever second guess yourselves whenever I think about positions taken in the Senate or the presidency or whatever, that sometimes decisions are just wrong, but that once you make them, it's a matter of pride and you just keep having to go forward. I mean, it seems like nobody ever says I made the wrong decision and back off, even if they're second guessing. Do you ever second guess yourself on decisions like this? And have you second guessed yourself on this decision?
Well, I don't know whether I could. No, I haven't second-guessed myself, except from the standpoint that I just stated to you, that it's a gamble on who's going to be the next president of the United States. I second-guessed that, but I guess that's a point that I'm willing to take. I don't know whether I could give you a dozen, or right now even think of one. But I have, obviously, out of 12,000-plus votes, there's some votes where I'd have to admit I made a mistake. But I don't know whether one would come to mind right now, but that's the way I'd have to go back, and I'd probably find a lot more than a dozen.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. You came down pretty hard on Chief Justice Roberts the other day. What was that all about?
Well, it was all about the fact that I try to make the point in a lot of speeches about the four judges that justices that have been nominated by Democrat presidents, they tend to stick together. But justices nominated by Republican presidents don't stay together as a bloc. And I would say I would like to see none of the justices have blocs. But it seems like the ones that I referred to on the Democrat side of the presidency do, and Roberts doesn't. And I like to point out how by a 63 vote, the court decided in Obamacare that the individual mandates were unconstitutional under the Interstate Commerce Clause, and all the time that Congress was debating Obamacare, it was assumed you could have an individual mandate under the Commerce Clause. And I originally thought that, but before Obamacare was done, reading Supreme Court decisions, I came to an opposite opinion. But anyway, for a long time, people felt that. The court said, no, you can't have individual mandates under the Interstate Commerce Clause. That's where Roberts should have stopped. But it's argued that he wanted to find a way to make sure Obamacare was constitutional, in his words, because the court might be considered political if they would overrule the first of the big programs out of a new Obama administration. So he found a way through the taxing power, which is the first power of Congress under the 18 powers Congress has delegated under the Constitution, do it through the taxing power. Well, that kind of goes contrary to all the debates that we had in 2009. Some Democrats wanted to increase taxes for Obamacare, but no, Democrats said, we can't increase taxes. We don't want this to be a tax bill because everybody's anti-tax, so we're going to find other ways of financing it. And yet he found the taxing powers to make it constitutional. So that's the points I was trying to make. And then I was also, the second point and last point in regard to the question you just asked, for another reason for my statement that day, was that recently the New York Times had said, either an editorial or newspaper article, that he ought to wade into this debate that's going on about Garland and tell the Senate how badly the court needs another justice. And of course, the Supreme Court shouldn't be meddling in congressional affairs. And it was kind of a message to him that the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee said he ought to stay out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're disappointed in him that he doesn't vote in bloc with the other Republicans, but it's not supposed to be about voting in blocks. It's supposed to be about seeking the truth and justice and what's constitutional, right? Not about voting in blocks.
You're 100% right, and that's why I'm a little irritated that particularly on 5-4 decisions, that it seems like Sotomayor, Ginsburg, Kagan, and Breyer vote alike all the time. And it's a little bit different. This has been the case for quite a while. And the last justice appointed by a Democrat president was a Justice White, appointed by Lyndon Johnson, and he tended to be the last one appointed by a Democrat that would go back and forth between, let me just use the words liberal and conservative. I don't know whether they're applicable to the court of his time. And he left the court in the mid-80s.
Well, we're getting to the end of the program, but I want to give you a chance. I know you've been busy. I've been getting lots of press releases from you. I know you've been busy. Could you share one thing that you really think is important that our listeners need to know about that you're doing that's unrelated to the Supreme Court?
Yeah. First of all, a little bit related to the Supreme Court, let me start out there, because Georgetown University recently put out a study 3 or 4 weeks ago studying all 100 senators, and I came in fifth of the most bipartisan. So any labeling me all of a sudden becoming a partisan because the Supreme Court isn't accurate. And then as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and then I'm going to get to a specific bill to tell your listeners about, all 27 bills that have come out of my committee have been bipartisan bills. 16 have passed the Senate, 6 has been signed by the President. I think that's another numerical measure of how I'm trying to work across Iowa. And then one of those bills that we're working real hard that got out of committee 15-5, sentencing reform. Call it criminal justice reform. Call it a way of trying to be more fair to people that are in prison because of drug felonies, that we're going to set up a process for rehearing on some of those, for some of those people, through a judge and a prosecutor that they can appeal to. That's what I call sentencing reform. There's also a prison reform in this. That bill got out of committee 16-4. It didn't have enough bipartisan support. It had more Democrat support than Republican support, and it's my bill. Well, I worked it out with Durbin of Illinois, and we're trying to get more Republican support for it, and we're making some progress so that McConnell will bring it up. And I would like to have your listeners focus on the great need for criminal justice reform, and it's one of the major initiatives that I have going since last October.
Well, thank you, Senator.
Okay, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thanks to Senator Chuck Grassley for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.